The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay. So I'll start by saying this month we've been talking about the simile of the raft. Many of you are familiar with this. I'll quote here a little bit about how it shows up in the suttas. Imagine a person in the course of a journey arrives at a great expanse of water whose near shore is dubious and perilous, and whose far shore was a sanctuary free of peril. But there's no ferry boat or bridge to take them across the water. So the person thinks, what if I collected grass, twigs, branches, and leaves and bound them together as a raft? And then supported by the raft and paddling with my hands and feet, I should then be able to reach the far shore. So that's kind of the abbreviated version of the simile of the raft. And through the weeks, I talked about the near shore. Then Yan Li talked about the floods, this big expanse of water. Last week I talked about how to make a raft, and this week I'd like to talk about the far shore. Like, what is this far shore? And you might, I'm wondering if this, if, does the volume, it feels a little loud to me. Is it loud for you guys?
No, I like it.
You like it?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I'm trying not to speak too loudly. You know, the speakers are right here in my ears, so it's a little bit different than what you guys hear. But okay, here we go. So the simile starts with like a journey, and we could say this is just our life. We can consider journey as a life. And there's this great expanse of water that gets encountered. We could say this is often called the floods. These are the things that feel overwhelming. These are the things that are pushing us around. This could be really big, giant things, terrible diagnosis, or it could just be not having a good relationship with your boss. You know, it's this, the floods could be anything really. It's that some difficulty that we wish was not in our life. That's, it seems to be getting in the way of going where we want to go. Seems to be like something that's poking us, or a pebble in the shoe, or something really giant. And then this idea is the near shore is where you are currently, and it gets described as dubious and perilous. I kind of like these translation choices. Dubious means kind of like it's suspect or deceptive. It's the way in which this unreliable foundation for lasting happiness. And perilous, we could say, is this idea in which sometimes because we're trying to find some happiness or ease and yet we can't or haven't been able to yet, sometimes we fall into patterns of behaviors that just aren't helpful. We're trying to find some short-term ease which ends up leading to some long-term problems. This could be too much doom scrolling. Or too much screens, you know, Netflix for hours on end, binging on something like that. Or maybe it's, you know, substances or something else, that some behaviors that we're doing aren't so helpful. So that's the near shore. And partly what makes it near the near shore is because there's this sense of it's not quite where we want to be. Because we have this idea of, oh, there's a far shore. There's someplace over there. I can't get there because there's these floods in the way. But there's this other place over there where I want to get. And I want to talk about this a little bit this evening. So the classical definitions of what this far shore is, we could say is the ending of resistance. This ending of insisting that things need to be different. Because this is a way in which we can also define dukkha, this one word that has such this giant range of meaning, from things that are troubling to things that are just horrific. The far shore is where things that are slightly troubling or horrific aren't there. It's the ending of dukkha is the far shore. And it turns out that that equals also the ending of clinging. And then this clinging shows up in so many ways, subtle and obvious. The ways in which we are holding on to this idea of how we think our life is supposed to be, how we think other people in our life is supposed to be, and we keep on trying to change them, and surprise, it doesn't work. It doesn't stop us from trying, though, right? We kind of like have this habit of we want other people in our life to, you know, just do this thing differently, whether it's load the dishwasher differently or just to stop doing complaining all the time, or just, I don't know, it's endless, right? The things that we could be wishing for other people to be doing differently. So the classical definitions of the far shore include it's the end of suffering. And we know that the cause of suffering is clinging, this wish for something, like we're really invested in something being a particular way. That's kind of what one way we can understand clinging. Also a classical definition of the far shore, it's also the ending of greed, hatred, and delusion. These go away when there's no longer clinging, when there's no longer this sense of self, like me in the center, trying to, like, you know, direct the world a particular way. That there's only greed and hatred and delusion when there's this self in the center that wants things to be a particular way. It wants to be comfortable all the time. It wants to be right all the time. So the far shore is also where there isn't this greed, hatred, and delusion. Many of you will be familiar that these are the different ways we talk about it, but sometimes the three poisons, three defilements, the three maybe root causes of our suffering and difficulties. But there's this way in this whole notion, the whole idea, the whole concept of a far shore is a trap. Because it leads to this idea, oh yeah, it's over there. Someday I'll get there, maybe. Maybe other people will get there, or maybe I just need 10 more lifetimes, or maybe I just need to go live in a cave for a long time. Or it really reinforces this idea that, okay, something over there is finally can be a place where we feel comfortable, all our relationships are fantastic and healthy, and we're happy all the time, and we communicate so clearly, everybody understands us, and we intuit and understand everybody else, but we have all these ideas about what we think the far shore will be. But even this idea is a trap, because it turns out that this practice isn't a journey in time. It's not a journey in distance, space. It's not miles. It's not years. It's actually a journey of, maybe we could say, perception, or maybe a different understanding. And that happens right now. It doesn't have to happen later. It can happen right now. With these experiences such as they are. So it's not that the far shore is elsewhere or at another time. It's what opens up when we stop trying to fix, when we stop striving, and we just allow and be with what's here. And to be sure, I'm talking about our experience, to be here with our experience. I'm not talking about all this terrible stuff that's happening in the world and all this big stuff. I'm just talking about this moment, this experience hearing, bodily experiences. Just right now. Not trying to fix it. It doesn't have to be different. But can we just allow it to be there? And this turns out to be a taste of freedom. And this is the far shore. So it's a trap if we are thinking that somehow it's over there or some other time. It's also a trap because if we have this sense that it's over there, then we're trying to measure. How far away is it? I'm clearly not there, but am I near or am I far? So then we try to make up these metrics of, if I can meditate for a long time, or if I have had a meditation practice for a long time, or for me, it's crazy. So when I, early in my meditation practice, I just threw myself in. I did a tremendous amount of meditation, did a lot of it, and did a lot of retreats. Just my life situation at that time allowed that to happen. So, and I didn't really understand anything, honestly. I thought I did, right? But I didn't. And I had just left being a scientist, and here I was in this whole meditation. So I just thought the weirder it is, the better. I just had this idea, like, weird was good. And so I kind of just, I don't know, if something felt a little weird, I just went with it. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to tell my friends when I get out of this retreat. I'm going to tell them about this thing that happened. Or, you know, they weren't really weird things, but they were just maybe not the most usual experiences. But somehow I thought that, like, oh, I must be really spiritual because I'm having something weird happen. It turns out that's a trap too. It's not about being weird. It's true that experiences arise that where our perception really shifts. And we could say freedom is actually all about this shift in perception, this letting go of this idea that things have to be different. And we just start to see in all the more and more subtle ways, this is what meditation practice really does support. As the mind starts to settle, we start to see so many subtle ways in which we're saying, nope, I don't like this, I don't want this, and here, I'm going to try to do that. So maybe it's an interesting thing I'm talking about, you know, allowing and not like fixing and striving. But maybe the paradox is there needs to be a certain amount of fixing and striving so that we can do some allowing. Right? It's fascinating how I think most of us have to have a certain commitment to like just come back to like the object of whether it's the breath or sounds or bodily experiences. So that to allow the mind and the body to settle so that we can start to see the way in which we're not allowing. So there has to be a little bit of effort first. And then how much effort? This is the art of practice. And often we discover by finding out, that was too much effort. I now have a headache and my muscles are tense and I'm so angry at everything because it feels like it's getting in my way. Or we might notice that we're completely falling asleep and even forgot that we're supposed to be meditating or something like that. Not enough effort. So how do you know how much effort? By making mistakes. That's the only way. So it's all part of the path. The striving, the trying to fix, and then realizing that the fixing, maybe a certain type of slight adjustment allows for more ease and allowing, but maybe this, I gotta make it go away, this dang thing, that turns out to be too much. So it requires us to just meet what's arising as best we can with the openness, the this of an I'm using this a spacious sense of meeting what this is as opposed to what we want it to be. And then here's what's really interesting about this other shore. So I'm talking about how our not fixing, our not trying to make it exactly what we want that matches our preferences, which means sometimes it's uncomfortable. It also means sometimes it's beautiful. And sometimes it's completely neutral and boring. But what happens here is how we can, a big part of like letting go or softening this sense of fixing is a letting go of, oh, I'm in the center and everything needs to be the way I want it. That turns out not to be actually be true, that we're all in the center. And in our minds, we are. The center of our universe, of course we are. This is the natural way our society promotes this, our educational system promotes this. But instead with meditation practice, we start to see, oh, yeah, there actually isn't a separate me here that's at the center of the universe. Oh, actually, it's all just a whole collection of experiences. It's just a collection of experiences. And some of these experiences, I'm kind of like saying, okay, these are mine. This is me. And I do not expect this to make sense to you. This is not something that our mind understands with logic. This is only becomes clear, I would say, with meditative experiences. I'm just planting some seeds here. So as the sense of self, this sense of being at the center of everything, as that starts to maybe like loosen up and get a little bit more spacious, then the fixing and the striving also gets spacious. It gets to be a little bit more freedom, a little bit more allowing. So these are going together, this wanting to fix and a strong sense of me. So maybe I'll say a little bit more about this strong sense of me. You naturally are experiencing this throughout the day when sometimes there's a real strong sense of self. How dare they cut in front of me? Don't they know that I need to get somewhere? These drivers these days, I can't believe it. Or, you know, like this, when we have this righteous indignation, there's a strong sense of self, a strong sense of separation between me and everybody else and that person. How dare they? Don't they know who I am? Or that's one version of it. But, and I'm just making these up, you might also have experiences where you're gardening and you're just taking care of the plants and watering and weeding or does whatever one does, just in a nice way, houseplants, garden, whatever. There's not a strong sense of self then. There's just an enjoyment of taking care of these plants. So we all have this experience where there's a real strong sense of me in the center, not a strong sense of me in the center. The far shore is about when there isn't just me in the center that's trying to fix and strive and make things different. So the far shore, which sometimes we might say it's awakening or peace or freedom. And there's lots of different ways we can talk about this. And for many of us, even those words don't have so much meaning. Maybe we just want to have a better life, have a little bit more ease in our life. Perfectly fine. You can define the far shore however you like. One thing I want to say is that we might have this idea that the far shore, this place where we're trying to go, is this continuous state of bliss, peace, and, you know, floating around on a cloud or, you know, something like this, that we're just having one constant experience and it's a blissful one. That's not what it is. It's not this fixed, static mode because, right, we know everything changes, right? We know this. from our life, everything changes. Instead, it's a radical shift in our relationship to what's being experienced. Instead of trying to make it be different, instead of co-opting it and saying, oh, this means something about me, instead of trying to push it away or pull it in or something, it's just an experience. And so maybe when driving and that person cuts you off, and maybe there's a flare of anger or fear or something like this, but maybe it just arises, and maybe it's just like riding on water. It just, you know, goes as soon as it arises. It doesn't stick. There isn't this self there that's trying to make this, turn it into something or make it be something. So this idea of the far shore, it's not about having only particular experiences, but it's our relationship to those experiences, to whatever's arising. We're no longer being pushed around by them. We're no longer feeling like some experiences we want to avoid, the difficult conversations or whatever it might be. Or we're not trying to have more of that loving intimacy of somebody that we feel close to. We're just recognizing that life is flowing, and part of it is flowing through experiences this way. So it's a shift in our relationship to what's happening. And I'm even saying our relationship. Maybe I should say it's actually just a shift in relationship to what's being experienced. Things aren't a problem. Maybe they're uncomfortable. Maybe they're unfortunate, but they're not a problem. It's just uncomfortable. They're beautiful or uncomfortable. It's just what it is. So this idea of the far shore can be a trap if we feel like it's some blissful state that we're going to land into. I mean, right, we kind of like have a society here as this idea of a heaven that talks about that. So a lot of people just superimpose their idea of some angelic realm onto this idea of awakening. But it's not what it is. It's about being present here and with an open heart, with an open mind, and the problemness out of experiences being let go of, no longer there. And maybe that doesn't sound so exciting, maybe? I don't know, but it turns out to be just to be in the world in this beautiful, open way in which you can help others make a difference in the world, because the world isn't pushing you around so much, and be part of the solution of what all the humans are looking for. So with that, I'd like to provide an opportunity for you guys to talk amongst yourselves. And maybe here's a question. Even if it's just for one breath, one moment, what happens when you rest in not grasping or not fixing or not striving? Even if it's just for one breath, just to be completely there for one breath, what happens? What is that experience like? As best you can, can you talk about the experience and not about thoughts? So maybe be descriptive. It feels easeful. It feels spacious. It feels like a relief. It feels something like that. So let's first, even if it's just for one breath, half a breath, one exhale, it's just one exhale when there's not fixing, striving, you know, anything needing to be different. What is it feel like? So maybe that'll just be a few descriptive words. And then maybe something else. What might it mean in your life that the far shore is just a different relationship to what's happening instead of someplace different? It's just all about relationship, not getting somewhere else, having other experiences. So that's kind of a lot. You can work with that as you like, but I do encourage you to talk less from intellectual, which we like to do and is easier to do, and more from your experience. And it would be great if you didn't know the answers and you just said some words anyway, and just maybe you'll find something new. There's something about when we're being witnessed by others and we're just like, I don't know, I guess it feels, and then just see what comes out. Okay, so we'll do this again for 12 minutes, so the same amount of time. You can choose whether you want to be in the same groups or different groups, and just, you know, meet each other with openness and spaciousness, and I'll meet you back here in 12 minutes. Thank you. So we just have a few minutes left this evening. I'd love to hear from some of you. How was that? Any comments, protests, questions? Or are you just going to allow? No, I'd love to hear. Or what is it like to talk with others about some of this? Either the meditative experience or after the Dharma talk? Anything you'd like to share? Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Is that all right if we just... Thank you.
I just actually want to share something that Carrie said in terms of the feel, the like physical feelings around how she felt when she allowed herself to have the space to just exist, because it was, everything she said was exactly how I felt. So when she said it, I was like, that's literally what I was going to say. But it was this idea of how it starts with a quiet and then a calm and then a warmth and then a happiness, which I just thought was such a nice way to say it. And at the beginning, there's also a purr because she has a cat. So there's like a, which I just thought was such a nice way to describe this feeling that exists when you're totally settled and existing.
Very nice. Purring. Very nice. I love it. Just that warmth and happiness. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Anybody else have something they'd like to say? Yeah.
We really had a great discussion in our group, and we talked about two things. One is that sometimes you need to fix things in the world. You need to work to change things in the world. But then we also talked about how making the far shore, you know, just orienting yourself differently. We talked about both, where it's just different orientation for not fixing something, but just seeing something is not bad, is okay. But then also the need to go out there and help people change things, you know. So we talked about both. So
yeah. And part of what the beauty is that the going out and helping and fixing can be from a place of love. Instead of like, oh, this is a problem and I got to make it be different. These people got to change and blah, 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 blah. Right? Instead of it's like, oh, no. It comes out of our love and care. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe one last comment.
I think what I appreciated about it all is that I realized the far shore doesn't have to be that far away. That it's I could just sit back for a moment and it's here.
Nice.
And I could just walk off this carpet and it would be in my life.
Yeah, that's right.
So I appreciate that it was made so accessible. Thank you.
You're You're welcome. You're welcome, Susan. Okay, so thank you all for showing up, engaging, doing the practice, talking to one another. It's beautiful, beautiful. I don't know, it touches me to have people come together doing this. So I wish you a wonderful rest of the evening and safe travels home. So thank you.